ramp. The ramp. It's a wheelchair ramp.
On Reddit, he's considered their Jesus. He weighs the same as three people. He just had cancer.
He steals mints from
Gordon Keith.
And this is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate and Sante Center for Healing. Here he is, folks. Monto.
Thank you very much, DJ. On our final edition of Dry Dock the Ramp, I got a couple of things. One, you asked last segment, Ham, if we had any New Year's Eve traditions. I don't have any really, at least ones that I carry from year to year. But I do have one that I do on New Year's Day. And this is one that my brother and I and family really have done since we were kids. My mom was always real big on us eating black-eyed peas and green beans on New Year's Day as like a good luck for the year kind of thing. Has anyone else ever heard of this or done this?
I've heard of it.
The black-eyed peas for sure.
Yeah.
That's been around for a long time.
Yeah. It seems real old school, real old wives' tale-y, but I that's the only time you'll ever catch me standing over a stove waiting for a pot of black-eyed peas to finish heating up.
I was going to say, do you enjoy it or you just do it for tradition?
Mainly tradition. I mean, I'll eat them. They're fine. But I don't want to just sit there and eat a whole can of black-eyed peas.
It's worked out pretty well for you, though, luck-wise.
Yeah, I've been doing great.
Imagine what your life would be like if you hadn't been eating those black-eyed peas.
Just in an iron lung. 2,000 pounds. It's probably the once or twice a year I actually do eat black-eyed peas, but it's one of those things where it's like, well, I guess I've been doing it my whole life. I might as well do it again.
God, if you were 2,000 pounds, it'd be so annoying going to get your pick-up your food order. Have to get like a pallet jack to bring your food in here every day.
Dude, I'm pretty sure this is a party platter meant for five people.
Did you mean to order this party sub?
Well, I only got two.
Yeah, we did. Pizza Friday would be pretty sweet, though.
Well, you'd also have to get my chair out of the forklift they brought me in. If I was 2,000 pounds.
The fire engine has to, like when they Jaws of Life the people out of the house, like where they have to cut the hole in the wall.
I was
going to
say, I think I'd be doing a lot of clean feed shows in between the taping of my TLC show.
Our elevators would be broken more than it is now.
I would be right up against the weight limit.
And just crane you into the building.
Individually.
Justin Montemayor stars in my 2,000-pound internet celebrity radio host, starring Monty.
Anyway, that is the one tradition that I have. Elsewhere, we talked about on Wednesday the Cowboys waving Trayvon Diggs, and one thing we talked about was where he would go next, and one of the landing spots that we considered was Green Bay. Well, since then, he has signed with Green Bay. He will be on their roster for the rest of the season, however long that may end up going. And one of the big selling points that Green Bay had outside of the kick-ass city was he gets to play with his old running mate, Micah Parsons. Well, Micah Parsons was very outspoken when that happened, that he was glad to get Trayvon back in the mix. You had Trayvon speak yesterday, which maybe we'll play some of that at 8:15, and he basically said the normal stuff you hear from any former Cowboy, which is, wow, I can't believe how different it is here, how hard we work and how just different the facilities are, and we don't have to deal with, you know, tours through our locker room constantly and whatever, what have you. But Micah on social media decided to also light a little bit of a fire. Which I'll tell you this, since the Cowboys traded Micah back in August or whatever it was, I was obviously upset that they got rid of him, but not near in the way of Luka, because I found defending Micah to be a little exhausting.
He's a little bit of a diva, where Luka was not.
Luka's humble. Luka had his own you know, diva qualities, but he's the positives.
He's not trying to battle people on Twitter.
No. Basically, everything wrong with Luka was just him fighting referees, or he liked to eat a couple empanadas. But with Micah, you got to deal with his podcast. You got to deal with his brother. You got to deal with him. You know, even like from his play, I remember having to defend, you know, the big fall off that he would end up having at the end of a year. So it would be exhausting dealing with Micah Parsons. And I would much rather just have that player here and have the game wrecker here. But I don't miss having to defend Micah to the rest of the NFL. Well, he was on Twitter and he was getting into it with
that was loud.
Some local. What was it?
It was like a throat frog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We can review.
Well, I feel great. Anyway.
You sound great.
So one of the things he put on Twitter yesterday was a guy posted Trayvon Diggs' Pro Football Focus grades. And he put what he's been since 2020. And he put statistically he's the worst corner in the league. And his tape is even worse.
Which is dumb to say he's the worst corner in the league. That's really pushing it, I would say. He's not even the worst corner on his own team by far.
Probably not, but I mean, if you just want to say, looking at the Pro Football Focus grades, he's up there with some of the worst. That is just an objective thing. Well, Micah gets on Twitter. I feel like what point is there in trying to publicly disrespect someone? He's not representing the star anymore. Just give the man a farewell and wish him the best. I don't know why everything has to be negative every time a breakup happens. He's in a better situation right now. Trust me, bro's going to be great again. Okay, defending his guy, kind of weird, but he's a big fan of Trayvon.
And also thinking that there's not going to be discourse online
about
anything is a little naive, but I get it.
So then he also responded, Clarence Hill posted a quote from Matt Eberflus where he was talking about the way things changed for the defense when they lost Micah Parsons. Micah just responded to that with a bunch of cry laughing emojis. Then his next tweet is, and I'm guessing he started to hear probably from a lot of Cowboy fans, like, hey, what are you doing? He says, y'all want me to feel bad. Jerry Jones slandered my name to Cowboys media and national media for months. So I do think I can react and comment if I want to. Hashtag respectfully. Don't know if you needed that hashtag there at the end. But anyway, I mean, has Jerry been just constantly ripping Micah?
Oh, I think leading up to the fallout and everything, where all the anonymous sources, you assume that that's Jerry and Steven. Probably, you know, I think that with a reasonable deduction, you know, I think that you could say that that's a lot of the Cowboys trying to discount and trying to put out there, since the Cowboys do have half of the Dallas Cowboys media on their own payroll. So I can understand why he would feel that way.
Well, one thing I do remember is him commenting on him laying on the trainer's table, which, again, objectively did happen.
Right.
He did that during a NFL football game. It was a preseason game, but he still did it while he was in the middle of contract negotiations with the team. Yeah, that looked terrible. It, looking back on it now, again, really hard to defend your actions there. When I get it, you're upset that you're not getting the money you want and you're not getting as far in these negotiations as you'd like, but you're expected to be a leader on this team and you're laying down during a game.
Doesn't look great, but devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you're not the devil. You just pretend to be him. I don't know how we can not still be critical of the decision that the Cowboys made there, that we need to give Jake Ferguson and Deron Bland the money that should have gone to Micah Parsons. I can understand why you might be petulant at that point, where Jerry butchered everything. Jerry tried to corner a player into agreeing to negotiations whenever his agent wasn't there. I'm not giving the Cowboys a free pass on this at all. I think people are going in on Micah for this. I think Micah is defending his friend, which I don't think is that out of the ordinary. We saw Trayvon Diggs whenever it was the other way, whenever Micah was the center of the attention. Trayvon Diggs was very public and open about defending his guy and saying that this is a mistake. This is, can't believe this is happening. And I think that mirrored, for the most part, what Cowboys fans were feeling at the time. So I'm always going to be extra aware of the Cowboys' ability to manipulate what the storylines are, what the messaging is out of the star, just because that's what they do.
Yeah. And I wouldn't give them a pass either on ultimately trading him. I just think that Micah is his own animal that's tough to deal with, and I want him back here, but he does make it hard to defend him sometimes, I feel like.
It is. I'll give you that, but the fact that the Cowboys fans now are all turning on him,
keeps taking shots back at the team, they're going to do that. But eventually they're a rabid fan base that cares about the star. I mean, I don't think they feel like they're defending Jerry. They're defending the team.
But indirectly, they are defending
Jerry. Well, they're the same people that keep going to games. They're the ones that we tell don't go to games if you don't like the way things are going, and they don't heed that.
Fair.
They're just going to love the team.